Well, we have had a great time Sunday and last night and this morning, and once more here tonight. We're just glad that you're here and being part of that. And our first speaker tonight is Dr. Norris Belcher, and I gave a big, long introduction to him like the last two times. For some folks, he doesn't need any introduction, but he's the pastor of the Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland, and where I came from before I came here. I was on staff with him, and he was my pastor from 1995 until 2003 when I came up here, almost exactly those eight years. In fact, you came in November of 95, and I came up here in October of 03. And the transition between Dr. Smith and Dr. Belcher was just amazing how smoothly it went. And be honest with you, they're quite different. Their stand's not that they believe the same thing, but their approach to things are quite different. And but that wasn't the point. And in fact, by the way, really don't want to get stuck on personalities. Get stuck on Jesus, get stuck on the book, and you hang on to that. And, you know, most things, the split churches, like a lot of times are personalities, and it's not the right thing it's supposed to be, okay? If you've got to walk away because of doctrine, well, then you do it. You walk away on the, you know, godly practice, you do it. But fact is, personalities are something we've got to be careful about. And the other thing was that, you know, Dr. Belcher, never bad-mouthed Dr. Smith. He didn't try to divorce his people from Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith had built a church from 150 to 1,500 during the 17 years that he was there. And you know how it is. You can kind of get to the point where you kind of worship the preacher, which, by the way, is not good. Worship the Savior, worship and support a preacher that worships the Savior. But Dr. Belcher came in, and he didn't just say clean house and threw us all out the window. He took a hold of us and left us stay there. Should have cleaned house, yeah.
I should have.
Go home. And I just appreciate him, appreciate his spirit. And you'll enjoy him. It'll be a blessing. But don't just enjoy him. Learn. Would you do that? Let the Holy Spirit give you what you need here tonight. Appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you so much. I love you too. All right. Good evening, church. How is everyone? I hope you're doing well. It's good to see you back again. That's a good sign when you come back. I told my wife, I said, my biggest fear is that I'm going to go to church and nobody will be there. You know, but you come back, and I'm so thankful that you have. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to be here. I've had a wonderful time, and just fellowshipping with all of you is a joy. And we had the school kids in here this morning, and that was good. And one little girl, I walked down there and put my Bible down after the service was over, and she was just looking at me, and I said, how you doing? She's just looking at me. And I said, do you not speak? She's just looking at me. And then she went, yeah, I do. I said, oh, okay, I just check it and I'm just making sure. But I've enjoyed every moment being here. Thank you, Pastor, for everything. And it's just been a delight and a joy to be here and good to be with my good friend, Pastor Mark Campbell, Dr. Mark Campbell. Now, I don't know if this was said. I don't know if it was, but Brother Mark was the youth pastor at the church when I came there in 1995. And the board, the deacon board, had told me that you have liberty, you have freedom, you can do whatever you want. You can keep the staff, you can fire the staff, you can do whatever you want to do. Our advice is keep them because they're good. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And so I had already made up my mind. I wasn't going to tell anybody to leave. Mark came to me shortly, wasn't quite a week, was it? And something like that. And he said, felt the Lord was leading him to go and pastor his own church. And he said, I'll stay for a year if you want me to. And I said, oh my, I do want you to. Yes. And he honored that. He gave me a full year and a little bit more. And I gave him glowing recommendations to every church that called me about him. And so we've remained friends through all these years, and wherever he has been, I have preached in his church or in his school or for him in some capacity. So I think that's the way it ought to be. And Dr. Smith and I are good friends. I know that shocks a lot of people. When we say that, people go, wow, how many years was he there? 17 and a half. How many years have you been there? 28. Wow, and you're friends? Yes. Yes, shock of all shocks. But we are, and we actually get along. And I love him, and he loves me, and we just get along. We enjoy being together, and so praise the Lord for that. And I think that's the way it ought to be, don't you? Amen. I have never one time ever run Dr. Smith down, and I never will. You'll never hear me say a negative thing about him. If you ever do, you know I've lost my mind, all right? So praise the Lord for this conference, and I'm glad Dr. Smith was here and glad Pastor Campbell was here, and just a joy. His father worked for me for the whole time that I was there, and he worked for Dr. Smith prior to that. And he just graduated on to heaven a few months ago, and I miss him dearly. He was a jewel of a man. And loved the Lord and loved serving. He just liked to serve. He just loved to serve others, and I sure do miss him. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. I'm not real sure how this is going to go, but If somebody could get me one of them little bottles of water, that would just be awesome. I don't see any. No, there's nothing there. I know I took mine this morning. He's got it. One of them's got it. Okay. All right, that's good. All right, are you in Revelation 1? All right, let me read a few verses here for you. Let's start in verse 8, please. And in verse 8, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to John. You remember that John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he is living out the remaining days of his life on this island out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, the northern Mediterranean Sea. And he has absolutely no hope of ever getting off of this island. So here while he's on this island, the Lord showed up and gave him what we call the book of the Revelation. The Revelation. It's not revelations. It's one revelation, all right? And so if you want to impress a preacher, don't ever call it revelations, because he's going to look at you like, you don't know what you're talking about. All right, but this is the Lord speaking, and in verse 8, look at what he says. Jesus says to John, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, the Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and the Omega is the last letter. So he's the first and the last, all right? And he said, he's the beginning and he's the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now watch carefully. I, John, who also am your brother Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. God bless you. All right, where was it? Right here. Okay. Verse 9. I, John, whom also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is, what's the next word? Called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now I'm going to stop reading right there, and I want to preach a message to you tonight that I'm going to entitle Patmos or Spirit. Patmos or Spirit. I'm not going to use humor tonight. I used humor this morning. I used a little bit last night. I'm not going to use that tonight. I'm not going to do anything to make you listen. But if you will listen, I think you'll learn something, and I think you'll see a tremendous truth and principle that will help you in your Christian life. You know, none of us are getting any younger, are we? Amen. Yeah. Somebody said, I think it was Pastor Campbell said this morning, that mirrors don't lie. All right, well, be thankful they don't laugh either, right? All right. But I said I wasn't going to do that. All right, Patmos or Spirit? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you now for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless as we open the word of God this evening. Father, we realize that we are needy people, and I pray that you will bless and help us this evening. I pray that your word will touch our hearts, and Father, that you will draw us close to you, that we'll see John in a little different light tonight. And Father, may we just leave here rejoicing in the decisions that we make. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. As John is explaining his situation in this first chapter, he makes two statements that I want to put together in order to make the point that I want to make tonight. I want you to notice in verse 9, John says that he was on the isle that is called Patmos. But then he turns right around and he says, I was in the Spirit. All right, so he's in Patmos, but he's in the Spirit. Now notice those two. There are two different environments in those two verses. Two different environments. First, there is a physical environment. And the physical environment where John was the Isle of Patmos. Now that island out in the northern Mediterranean, back in Paul's day, John's day, our Lord's day, was a very rugged and harsh place. Today, it's like a vacation place, a vacation spot. It's paradise today. But back in the first century, this place was basically a penal colony. Rome sent its worst, the worst of the worst, to work in the mines that were there as punishment for the crimes that they had committed against society. And Patmos was a desolate, it was a dreary, it was a depressing place. The only way to get there was by boat, and with the Roman Empire's worst of the worst living there, it was the last place on earth that any rational person would have wanted to spend the rest of their days. But then there was a second environment that is mentioned here in the next verse, in verse 10. John says, physically, I was in the Isle of Patmos. But then spiritually, a second environment is mentioned, and this environment is an unseen environment. This environment in verse 10 is an unseen environment. Yet make no mistake, folks, it is just as real, and it is just as vital, and even more important than where John was physically. John says, I was in the Spirit. So he's in two places, is he not? He's on the isle that is called Patmos, and that's the seen environment. But then secondly, he was moving, living, dwelling on this island in a spiritual place. You see, he was not consumed with with living on Patmos. No, he was also living in the Spirit. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. But isn't that neat, folks? I mean, Paul said it this way, we are living with Christ in the heavenlies. We are living with Christ in the heavenlies. I mean, in heavenly places, or in other words, same as John says here, in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. So John was in a physical place, but he was also in a spiritual place. Now there's one little delightful touch that reveals to the discerning heart which was the real environment for John. Notice, if you will, look at your Bible in verse 9, and you will see here that John does not tell us that he was in Patmos. What's he say? He said he was in the isle that is called Patmos. You say, well, what's that mean? Well, it means that John had heard that name upon the lips of others. And he took it upon their authority that that's where he was. He didn't know where he was. He wasn't concerned about that. What he was concerned about, and he adds it in the very next verse, he says, I was in the Spirit. And folks, I tell you, he did not need any authority for that. He knew where that place was. He knew how to dwell there. It was in that second environment, in the environment of the Spirit, that he was completely at home. Completely at home. So two environments. And I want to contrast these two environments, which have their parallels in everyday life. And so let me show you what I'm talking about here tonight. I'm going to give you three things, all right? Number one of his environments was visible, and the other was unseen by human eye. In other words, one environment was visible, the other was invisible. One was seen, the other was unseen. You see, when John stirred in the morning and stepped outside, he saw with his eyes a very shocking place where he would live out his final days. Don't forget, folks, Patmos is not a paradise, or it was not a paradise in those days. It was desolate. It was a place of despair. It was a place that was inhabited by criminals. There was the debris of the mines that just lay everywhere as a reminder of the toil and the sweat that was staring them in the face each morning as they got out of their beds. And don't forget, folks, don't forget, John was sent there after miraculously surviving an attempted execution on his life. You see, back in the first century, when you held up this book and you preached this book, often it did not end well for you. And that was the case with John. John, tradition says that John, it's not in the Bible, but it is in Jewish tradition, and it says that John was sentenced to death for preaching the gospel. And they were going to execute him by throwing him into a cauldron of burning oil. Now think about that, folks. Isn't that awful? Just get a big fire built underneath a big cauldron and get the oil burning, boiling. And then they took John, and tradition says that at this point in his life, in his old age, he had gotten a little hefty. That's a real nice way of saying big. And they picked him up, and they threw him in that cauldron, and when they did, it dumped him out. Now, it burned him, according to the tradition. It burned him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, but he lived. And the Romans had a double jeopardy clause in their constitution, just like we have here in America, that you cannot execute a person the second time if the first one does not take. All right? You can't kill a person after you tried to kill them in an execution and it was not successful. So John was then, after he survived this, put out to the Isle of Patmos to live out the rest of his natural days. Now imagine what you would look like, and imagine what you would feel like after being thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil and surviving. Imagine, folks, the pain. Imagine the scarring. Imagine the infections that his body would have had to suffer. And then, on top of all that, to wake up each morning and be on this rock with no way to escape, and to be on that island with the worst of human society as a neighbor. I'm telling you, folks, had that been all John had, what a deep and strong depression he would have had to have. I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what he went through. But you know, the amazing thing is that the moment he woke up on this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, remember, and on that day when he woke up on that Sunday morning, he was conscious of another environment in which he was living. Yes, physically, he was on Patmos, but spiritually, he was in the Spirit. And folks, the question that we need to ask ourselves daily is, are we aware of the unseen realm that is ours as we awaken and start each day? Are we aware? I mean, listen, it's real easy to wake up and look around at the physical place where we are, but are we aware of the spiritual place? Well, we need to be. Multitudes of folks get up each day and they start each day with dread and despair. And they go throughout the whole day with dread and despair. They come home at night and they lay their heads down on a pillow, toss and turn in dread and despair for what's coming tomorrow. And then they get up the next morning and they start the whole thing over again. I mean, multitudes of folks all over this area are hurting and are bruised and they're battered and they're got broken hearts. I mean, think about it, folks. The economy, food prices, the fear of the unknown. I mean, gasoline prices, the cost to heat and cool your home, our poor physical health. All I do is go to doctors anymore. That's all I get done. I got to go to the doctor Friday when I get back home. I got to go get a thing cut off my forearm. It's just a little thing, but they said it's some kind of cancer and they got to cut it out. And I said, oh boy, I can't wait for that. I said, what are you going to do? She said, well, I'll take a needle and I'll numb it up about 10 shots around it. And I'm sitting there going, 10? Well, you want it good and numb. Yeah, I want it good and numb. I don't want to feel a thing. She said, well, after it's good and numb, then I'm going to make a little cut around it, and I'm going to dig that cancer out. And I said, well, how do you know when you get it? She said, oh, we test it. How long am I going to be here? And she said, don't worry, we got plenty of Novocaine or lidocaine or whatever kind of cane it was. I said, well, you better bring the whole bottle, I can tell you that, because I don't do pain. I do not do pain. I am pain intolerant. Yes, indeed. And the list just goes on and on and on for the things that can wear us down and turn life into nothing but a daily grind. But what a profound difference it makes when we can get up to face the day and we awaken not to a physical environment that is hurting us and is controlling us and is keeping us down, but we can wake up to a spiritual environment and realize that we have the Lord on our side. When you sung that song a few minutes ago, my heart just jumped out of my chest. I did not want to preach this message. But that's the message the Lord laid on my heart. And to keep me from taking another sermon, I took my notebook out and put it in the car. This is the only one I have. And then I come in here and hear him sing about how the Lord was with Jacob and Joseph and Abraham and Daniel and Jonah. And hey, if the Lord was with them, and we just now read the Lord was with John, and if the Lord was with them, and folks, I'm telling you, none of us have it as bad as what John had it. I don't care what your physical state is. None of us have had it as bad as what John had it. But John woke up and he had a spiritual environment that he saw. He didn't see Patmos. He saw the glorified Savior. So one environment was unseen. The other was seen. Second thing I want you to see. One environment was not of John's choosing. But the other was all of John's choosing. Do you see that? I mean, if John had a choice, he would have never chosen to live on Patmos. He has lived a long, full life. He had reached a point in his life, no doubt, where he was probably looking to retire, looking maybe to find a little peace and a little quiet and a little rest. John, no doubt, knew that his time on this planet was quickly winding down. He had no doubt, he knew that that the sun was setting upon his life and upon his career. So, folks, you can be assured that the absolute last place that John would have ever chosen to live was on the Isle of Patmos. Now, let me give you a little truth here about John. You see, after our Lord's death, he was given the responsibility of taking care of Mary. You remember that? As Jesus was hanging on Calvary's cross, he looked down and saw John with his arm around his mother. And he said, "John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." And that was telling John that the Lord wanted John to take care of Mary. And evidently, that's what he did. And after she died, John left Jerusalem and went to pastor in Ephesus in Turkey. And he pastored a great church there. And no doubt, a great many people in that church loved him dearly. And then suddenly, the mighty arm of Rome reached out and grabbed him and carried him into exile. And he woke up each day in the isle that is called Patmos. But it was a greater power than he who sent him there. You see, it was the might and the power of Rome that sent him there. And there was no use in trying to resist the power of that strong arm. What Rome did to him, he was powerless to resist. But you can be assured, folks, that Patmos was never on the list of places that John wanted to retire to. But in Patmos, where he was forced to dwell, we see him moving into another place. Now think of it, folks. He was a prisoner, yet he was at liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In bitter bondage of his exile, the Son had made him free. Let me tell you something, folks. As it was with John, so it is with each and every one of us. We do not choose the country that we're born in. God does that for us. We do not choose our parents. God chooses our parents for us. We do not choose what state we live in. God chooses what state we live in. We do not choose our brother. God chooses our brother. We do not choose our sister. The devil chooses our sister. I just slipped out. I'm sorry. That's not really what I meant. No, God even chooses our sisters, doesn't he? Yeah. But wait a minute, folks. Wait a minute. How we choose to live in our physical environment is another thing completely. You see, you choose to make life what it is. You choose that. In Patmos, we can be in the Spirit. That's good to know, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I pretty much spend a lot of time on Patmos. And it's good to know that we can be in the Spirit and be on Patmos. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. We can have liberty and rest in our Patmos even if we have been set there by forces beyond our control. In other words, folks, regardless of your situation and regardless of your circumstances or regardless of your physical environment, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has the blessed privilege of living above it all. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And the sharp contrast between life's compulsion and the heart that triumphs in the midst of it is found in these two little phrases. I was in Patmos, I was in the Spirit. Which are you going to choose? Which will you choose, Christian? You know, I really hate to say this with a couple of my church members here, but you know, there's some people you just don't ask them how they're doing. You know, because they're going to tell you. It might take a half an hour to tell you. And let me tell you, that's a half an hour you'll never get back. I have caught myself. Hi. Good to see you. Simple truth of the matter is, we're all having a hard time, aren't we? Yeah. Now, how are you going to choose to live in these hard times? You got a choice. You going to be in Patmos, look at all the gloom and doom, or are you going to be in the Spirit and rise above it all? What's it going to be, Christian? One more. Thirdly, I want you to notice in these two environments, there was a contrast between loneliness and never being alone. Now, let me show you this. I can just imagine that John, all right, the pastor now, the disciple whom Jesus loved, you following me? The man who laid his head over on our Lord's chest and listened and heard his heartbeat. That's John. And now the preacher is on this island. And society's worst are his neighbors. I dare say to you folks that John was never more lonely than when he was among all of these desperate and despicable criminals. What did John have in common with rapists, thieves, murderers, crazy people who had been sent there by the Romans to get them away from society? I dare say that John was probably more lonely than had he been the only person on that island. In the physical environment, he was all alone. But in the spiritual environment, he was never alone. You see, he heard a voice. And when he turned around to see the voice, he saw the glorified Son of God standing there and giving him this revelation. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about it, folks. I dare say that John was thrilled beyond comprehension when he turned around and realized that it was his friend who was with him. You see, the text tells us that while in the Isle of Patmos, stay with me now, I'm almost done, in his darkest hour, old and alone, no doubt with fear in his heart, no doubt fearing every waking moment, he suddenly had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he was in living touch with his resurrected and ascended living Savior. He had a friend who knew what it was like to suffer loneliness. John, can I remind you that when the Savior was hanging on Calvary's cross, all the other disciples fled. But John was there giving comfort and encouragement to Mary. And when the Lord looked down upon the people who had gathered to watch the crucifixion, the folks that had gathered there, there was no Apostle Peter. There was no Apostle James. There was no Matthew. None of them were there. Only John stood by the Lord in his darkest hour. And it's almost here now in Revelation 1, I dare say, in John's darkest hour, it's almost like the Lord Jesus is returning the favor to John, isn't it? It's almost like the Lord was saying, John, you stood by me when I was alone on the cross. John, you stood by me when all the rest of the disciples fled. You were there, John, and you have no idea how comforting it was to me to see you there standing beside of my mother and giving her strength. And now, John, in your lonely trial, I am here to stand with you. Oh, hallelujah. For a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank God for the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God for the promise, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Let me tell you something, folks. That little word, always, you know what that means? You say, well, isn't that a typo? No, it's not a typo. The word means all the way. I am with you all the way. And boy, I found that to be true. I cannot tell you how many times I have looked down at my paltry little outline and I've said, Lord, I got to go in there and preach this to a church full of people. Oh, Lord, you're going to have to help me. This thing's weak. This thing's in bad shape. I thought it was better than this, but it's not. So, Lord, you're going to have to help me. And then go in there and sometimes just feel like I'm standing there preaching, the Lord's got his arm around me. I mean, he's just got his arm around me. I can't tell you what that feels like, but man, does that feel good. Now, there's been a time or two where I've said, where are you? You got to be here somewhere. Where are you? That's when he thought you had a good outline. But he's always there. He's always there. And folks, I submit to you that that made all the difference in the world to John. You see, even the loneliness of Patmos became bearable for John when he knew Jesus was there. He would certainly see his physical world in a whole different perspective now, don't you think? I mean, it would just all be seen in a different through a different set of eyes. He would move among those criminals and those thugs as a man who had something that none of the rest of them had. Wonder how many of them would look at John's old scarred up body and see him edging along and trying to walk and trying to find something to eat and would say, hey, old man, what's different about you? John would say, well, let me tell you about my friend. Let me tell you about my friend. Because he knew he had a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He was in Patmos, but oh, praise God, he was in the Spirit. The reason those men, they were all on the same island, and those other guys no doubt hated being there. And the reason they hated it so much was because they had no other environment upon which to lean. They had no place of refuge for their souls. But for John, a believer in Jesus, he had the Spirit who came with the fellowship that made even the awful Isle of Patmos seem like the Garden of Eden. Now, I need to ask you, folks, is there another environment for you? I talk to folks all the time. They'll call and say, Pastor, can I come and see you? And sure, come and see me. Come on. And they come in and they tell me how distraught they are and they tell me all their problems. And man, I tell you, by the time some of them get done, I'm depressed. You say, well, what do you do in a case like that? Well, normally, I just preach them this little sermon right here. And I say, you got to make a choice. You're going to be on Patmos, and that's all you're going to do? That's your environment, Patmos? Won't you try this? In the Spirit. And see, you can still be on Patmos. John was. But you can be in the Spirit. I'm not saying that your situations are going to change, but I'm saying you got somebody that will guide you through that situation. Which environment are you going to live in?